What kind of love is this? Amen. We're going to be looking at John 13 this morning, 31 to 35. Whilst you're finding those, if you have your Bibles with you, let me just pray again and as we come to the Word. Father, we just pray, Father God, we just pray that you'll be with us, moving amongst us. We sense your presence already, actually, Father, and we thank you for it. Come by your Holy Spirit now and move amongst us. Reveal to us your will for our lives. And Father, we just remember again those dear ones upstairs that are so enthusiastic looking through those maps, Father. We just pray that they will find the one true way in their little lives, Father. And pray it that it might be sooner rather than later, Father. Come and bless them this very morning and move amongst them. Bless the teachers as they teach them and the children as they learn about you, and that they might find you as their Saviour and Lord. By your grace, come even now upon them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, what kind of love is this? What a wonderful hymn to sing just before we look at this passage. I'm conscious that time is whizzing away. I'm not a three-quarter of an hour man as far as preaching is concerned, so we're pleased about that, perhaps. Unless, of course, you know, as time goes on, you're shouting as I come to the end, preacher more, and I'll do my best. We're going to look at this passage, and I'll read it now from John's Gospel, John 13, and we look at verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Well, let's look firstly at the context of this passage, because as you'll know from reading around John, where Jesus, in fact, is just predicted Peter's denial. We're in the Last Supper. Jesus has served and given this wonderful picture of service as he's washed the disciples' feet, and that has included Judas, the betrayer. Judas has departed. And Jesus has just told the disciples that he's going to leave them. He'll be leaving them soon. He's coming to the end of his earthly ministry. And he says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So those things will be vibrant in their minds, I'm sure. Particularly about the humility of Christ coming, our God coming and washing the disciples' feet, including the one who he knows will soon be betraying him. My first point then is this. This is a commandment. A new command I give you. Or as other translations have it, a new commandment I give to you. It's a command, and we need to be absolutely clear that it's a command, and it's a new commandment. It's not an optional extra. And we are required, as Christians, if you know the Lord as yours, if you're truly his, we're called to respond. This is not for a few of us that are, you know, super Christians in any way whatsoever. This is for all of us, for all of those that trust in him and are truly his. Now, it's interesting this, I think, because all through the Gospels and the Epistles, we hear and see guidance about loving one another. And if you think about Matthew, back in Matthew 22, when Jesus answered the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he talked to, they were testing him, and they were asking Jesus, trying to catch him out, actually. They weren't being honest about this. They were trying to catch him out. They were saying, you know, which is the greatest teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered in very clear references to the Old Testament. And he talked about loving God. And if I turn to Matthew, it's in Matthew 22. I'll read it from God's Word. Matthew 22 says this. Very cleverly, wonderfully, our Lord says this, the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second, he quickly adds, is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So why does Jesus say this is a new commandment? If you look back in Leviticus, there is a very clear reference in Leviticus 19, 18 and 34, where God's people are very clearly told that they should love their neighbour as themselves, but also they should love the alien, the stranger, as themselves. So why is this a new commandment? It's in the various early laws that are given to God's people. Jesus has spoken publicly in answering the Pharisees about the importance of those early laws. Why is he saying in private to his disciples, those closest and dearest and nearest to him, why is he saying, a new commandment I give to you? It's very clear that principle is in the Torah, in the old laws. It's very clear. He's spoken publicly about this. Well, just hold that thought. Why is this a new commandment? As we look at the word that Jesus uses here. Because he uses a very special word for love. You know, in the English language, it's somewhat of a clumsy language in many ways. I know we're very precious about our language. But the word love, you know, it's a sort of multi-purpose one in English language, isn't it? And we have to look at the context and what we're saying when we talk about love, how we love living in twinning, how we love coming to this chapel, how we love this or we love that. So we often need to qualify exactly what we mean in the English language. We might even be excused for thinking that the word could possibly have become devalued, you know? So much when you see on the television or in the media that these days, people talking about celebrities loving this and loving that, this culture of celebrity that we're in. And you could say that the word has even been devalued to some extent. So we need to understand exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is asking of us when he says, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. This is not any other sort of love than that the Lord has demonstrated himself. The Lord had to come and had to die on the cross for us. He had to give himself for us. But he also had to come to show us how to love in this way. You know, in the Greek language, there are a number of words for love. And if ever you want to look at more of this, then there's the wonderful book by C.S. Lewis, of course, The Four Loves, in which he talks very helpfully about all of these things. But there's a Greek word called storge, which is a sort of familial love, the love of the family, the love of a man for his children, mother for her children, familial love. There's eros, you know, and so much of the world concentrates on eros today, I'm afraid to say. You know, it's romantic. So many marriages don't last the course, do they? Because somebody's going after a principle of romantic love and what they think love must be all about. Romantic love. Passionate love. Physical love. That's eros. It's not eros that the Lord's talking about. Filio. Virtuous love. You know, loyalty, friendship. But this is agape love. Very special word. The way it's used in the New Testament. Very special word. Agape love. It's self-sacrificial. It's an unconditional love. William Hendrickson, the New Testament scholar and expositor, defines agape love as this, and I think this is very helpful. Love, deep-seated, thoroughgoing. It's intelligent and purposeful. It's a love in which the entire personality, not only the emotions, but also the mind and the will, plays a prominent part. And this love is based on esteem for the object loved. That's Hendrickson. It's a very different love, isn't it, to that is glibly mentioned by much of the world today. Jesus is asking us to love one another as I have loved you, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ here today, this is a commandment to you. Love one another with agape love, the love that is sacrificial and not self-serving. So that's my first point, really. This is a commandment. It's a new commandment because it's a new way of loving and it's distinctive. And actually, the whole point of this is that this is a new commandment because it's to the brethren, it's to the followers of Jesus Christ. It is a witness to the world. It is how we will remain distinctive and it is how we will be salt and light in the earth, in the world. It's the only way. You see, when people talk about helping the poor and going abroad to help other countries and those less well off than ourselves, there are lots of agencies. There are lots of nice people that do things for other people and try and help people in that way. And very often, as a Christian, if you're talking to people about one's faith and what's special about Christ, people will often sometimes say, well, actually, I'm a good person. Why shouldn't I go to heaven? I'm a good person. I do good things. It's not the distinctive way that we're called to act and love one another in this self-sacrificial act. And that's why it's a new commandment. That's why Jesus is sharing that to the brethren. It's distinctive. What does it look like in practice? Well, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to 1 John 3, 16 to 20, it says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. This is what this love looks like. It's very distinctive. It's dealing with disputes amongst ourselves in a biblical manner. The importance, keeping that so important unity that Ephesians 4 talks about. Ephesians 4:1, walking in a manner worthy of our calling. It is distinctive. It is not the way of the world. Bearing with one another, with patience, gentleness, self-control, as in Galatians 6. This isn't just putting up with one another. This is bearing with one another. This is bearing one another's burdens. Total forgiveness. Psalm 103 talks about being forgiven, the forgiveness that we hope for from God. And God says, I'll remember your sins no more. As far as from the east is from the west, I have removed your transgressions. That's what we're called to do with each other. True forgiveness. What does that mean? That means when we are forgiven by God, if we go back, if we worry, because we're so often like this, aren't we? We worry about something that we've done. If we've truly been forgiven by God, if we've sought his forgiveness, we've confessed our sin, we've been truly forgiven by God, if we keep on going back to God and saying, oh, I'm still sorry about that thing I did the other day, God's saying, what are you talking about? I don't remember it. I remember it no more. You see, if you're harbouring memories of something done to you by one of the brethren, you've not totally forgiven each other. Totally forgiving is, I remember it no more. Can't even remember what that was all about. Total forgiveness. It's in the way that Jesus restored Peter. And love was mentioned there so many, three times. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? He was talking about agape love. Peter, do you love me? You know what Peter's like? He's so impetuous. He's been so impetuous. I will never desert you, Lord. I will never betray you, Lord. And of course he does. And when Jesus gently restores him, the penny is finally dropped with Peter. The Lord says, do you love me, Peter? Peter says, I have affection for you, Lord. He can't even bring himself now. He's using a different word, a different Greek word. In the translations, of course, it says, yes, I love you, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you, Lord. Well, actually, if you look at the Greek, he's saying, he can't bring himself to saying, I agape love you, Lord. He realizes now what Jesus has done for him. He's realizing what Jesus is asking of him. And he can't even bring himself now. The penny's dropped. He can't bring himself to say, I agape love you, Lord. He's saying, oh, Lord, I have loyalty to you. I have, virtuous, loyal friendship, filio. I have that sort of love for you, Lord. But do you love me, Peter? Yes, I have that sort of friendship, that filial love for you, Lord. Do you have that love for me, Peter? Yes, you know I do, Lord. Jesus gently restores him. And he's betrayed him. You know, Andy Patterson, I don't know if you've ever heard of Andy Patterson, but Andy Patterson is the FIEC Director of Mission. And he was at, this really stuck with me as something last year when he came to speak to us at Wood Green. He said, what do you do with those in the fellowship, those in church, that you don't get on with? You put them down on your prayer list. You put them down on your prayer list. If you don't get on with someone, you put them down on your prayer list, absolutely. And that part of that prayer will be, Lord, soften my heart. Lord, it's me. Help me to get on with that person. Loving each other as our Lord commanded will allow us to shine out. Our lights will shine in this community. You see, when we talk about going and working with the poor and helping the poor, and, you know, I'm not patronizing that or belittling that in any way whatsoever, that's important. But what those people need, if you are truly reaching out to the poor, they don't need a little bit more money, actually, because what that will do is just make them slightly less poor, but still destined for eternity in hell. That is not what is helpful. They need to see something that's different, and attractive and draw them into this place, to put them under the word of God so that they hear the word. And then, you know, with God's grace, they might come to know him. That's what they need. We don't need to make them a little less poor. We need to give them the opportunity of hearing what life is really about, and actually what the eternal perspective is, what eternity is about. Because that is what is more important for them, spending eternity in hell. So that's why this is a new commandment. Because if you try and bring people into a place where actually we're just like the world, and we're just talking behind one another's backs, and we're not forgiving, and there are cliques and the like, then they're saying, well, there's no difference, you know. I remember somebody saying to me, a dear one of mine, said to me years ago, Martin, if it's as wonderful, if church is as wonderful as you say it is, why do people look so miserable on the way out? And I said, well, actually, that's not always true. but I took the point, to be honest, and it stung. We need to be distinctive. People need to see that we are different. And that's why it's a new commandment. It's what's distinctive and meaningful about our work in the world. It gives us credibility to our call and for our walk. It's all dependent, of course, people coming in, coming under the word, but I don't think enough people come under the word if they're not attracted by this distinctiveness that Jesus is talking about. If they come under the word, then of course it's down to God's sovereign will, it's down to God's abundant grace, but we must be obedient in the first place. By obeying Jesus in this way, we're also preparing ourselves. Revival only comes through the grace of God in his timing and through his will. But we need to be prepared for that day, should that day come, and should God bless us in that way. So to sum up and remind, my 3 points. It's a commandment, and it's a new commandment, and I hope we've seen why it's new. It's Christ's command and his example as to how we should live with agape love. And the only way that we can do that is with the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, by spending time with him and asking for God, Holy Spirit, to help us day by day, coming faithfully to the word day by day, drawing closer to Christ day by day, and asking God, Holy Spirit, to help us in everything. We can only truly love in this way by living in that close personal relationship and relying on God, Holy Spirit, in that way to guide us. Only by living in this obedience can we hope to be and remain distinctive in the eyes of those around us. We're called to be a light to all nations, and that's the only way that we can do it, is to be distinctive. So for twinning, love with agape love. Continue to love with agape love. Obey his command. Become a fellowship that is prepared. Prepared for anyone to come through the door and to see this distinctiveness. Be a fellowship that's distinctive. Continue to pray by faith that God will bless us with revival. And I pray that God will bless you with revival, starting in this location. What a wonderful thing to come through these doors, to find a distinctive people and come under the word of God. Amen. Our final chorus hymn. Holy Spirit, living breath of God.